From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs, started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has allowed Youth and Sports Ministry to focus on football development. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati says stunting and poverty reduction government's focus in short term. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in details. Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sports Zainuddin Amali said on Monday, President Joko Widodo has allowed him to focus on managing the development of national football. The minister was elected as the first deputy chairperson of the Indonesian Football Association, or PSSI, in an extraordinary congress held on February 16, 2023. As quoted by Antara, according to Minister Zainuddin Amali at a press conference at the presidential office in Jakarta on Monday, he has personally reported that he was selected as the association's deputy chairperson to the president, and certainly he has already known about his election to the post. Minister Amali further said he told President Joko Widodo that he wanted to concentrate on improving national football. The programs for reducing stunting and extreme poverty became the short-term focus of the Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin administration last year. This was affirmed by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati while delivering a press statement at the Presidential Palace Complex in Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara. She further pointed out that the year 2024 is the last year for President Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin's administration. She also informed, to this end, various priority programs will be conducted with a focus, such as reducing extreme poverty until it reaches 0%. Next, we have the National Alms Agency, or Basnas, and private zakat agencies, or LAZ, collected zakat, or Islamic alms, donations, and charity amounting to at least 21 trillion rupiah, or $1.34 billion in 2022. Until the third quarter of 2022, the total amount recorded in the National Zakat and Alms Collection Report of Basnas and LAZ reached 21 trillion rupiah. This shows that public awareness is increasing. This was pointed out by the Religious Affairs Ministry's Director of Zakat and Wakaf Empowerment, Tarmizi Tohor, at the 2023 National Zakat Coordination Meeting on Monday, as reported by Antara. He also remarked that the increasing number of zakat, donations, and charity pulled from Indonesian Muslims benefited various aspects of the country, including religious and social activities, poverty eradication, human resource development, and economic growth. The last national news comes from securing the supply of clean piped or surface water that has become crucial for preventing Jakarta's land subsidence. The rate of land subsidence in Jakarta has reached 12 to 18 centimeters per year due to the over-extraction of groundwater by Jakarta residents. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Basuki Hadi Mulyono, on Monday as quoted by Antara. He also explained that Jakarta and the central government cannot do anything and cannot forbid this unless they can supply clean piped water to Jakarta residents. He also conveyed the government is striving to conduct three drinking water provision systems, or SPAM, and they are expected to provide 3,200 liters of drinking water per second, while Karian Serpong will supply 3,500 liters of water per second. Now we move to the international news. Rescuers are once again researching for people trapped under rubble in Turkey after two new earthquakes hit the country, killing at least three people. As quoted by BBC.com, tremors of 6.4 and 5.8 magnitude struck in the southeast near the border with Syria, where massive quakes devastated both countries on February 6. The earlier quakes killed 44,000 people in Turkey and Syria, with tens of thousands more left homeless. Buildings weakened by those tremors collapsed in both countries on Monday. Secretary General of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, Mr. Hussein Brahim Taha, at the head of a delegation of the OIC General Secretariat, participated in the third session of the International Humanitarian Forum held in Riyadh, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, on February 20 and 21, 2023. As the information stated by OIC to Voice of Indonesia, held under the auspices of the custodian of the two holy mosques King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud, may Allah preserve him, and organized by the King Salman Humanitarian Aid and Relief Center. The forum witnessed widespread participation of the United Nations, its organizations and humanitarian agencies, as well as leaders of various international and regional governmental and non-governmental organizations and organizations active in the humanitarian field. We end the news with the 10th conference of the Asia-Pacific Association of Theoretical and Computational Chemists is underway at the International Center for Interdisciplinary Science and Education in the central province of Binh Dinh. As reported by vovworld.vn, the five-day event, which lasts until February 23rd, attracts the participation of more than 350 scientists and students from 25 countries and territories across the world. The conference focuses mainly on basic research based on computational techniques, with debates relating to molecular science and simulation in biomedicine. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you. The beginning of the International Mother Language Day was when the Bangladesh diaspora, Rafiqul Islam, wrote a letter to the UN Secretary General to save the world's languages from extinction. Then at the UN session of November 17, 1999, at the UNESCO General Conference session, it was declared that February 21st was designated as International Mother Language Day. The date was chosen because at that time there was a murder incident in fighting for the Bangla language in Dhaka, Bangladesh in 1952. Regarding mother language or the first language used by speakers in communicating, there are currently many setbacks. The UN has indicated that several languages are in the brink of extinction. In 2023, with the theme Multilingual Education, a Necessity to Change Education, it is expected that mother language lessons can exist and be accepted by users or native speakers of the mother language. With this theme, it is hoped that every country will innovate so that the extinction of mother tongues can be slowed down. In a special interview with Voice of Indonesia, the head of the National Agency for Language Development and Cultivation at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Professor Endang Aminuddin Aziz said that what is meant by multilingual education is the role of other languages so that students can better understand their mother language. This means the use of a second language in explaining the mother tongue is a necessity in learning processes in class, especially among the current Generation Z and Generation Alpha. In addition, he also doesn't deny that the existence of technology has also caused a decline in the use of mother tongue in daily life. Professor Endang Aminuddin Azin further stated that according to the latest data he had in 2022, speakers of mother languages or regional languages in Indonesia only reach 76% and 73 of the 76% are out of home. And of that 76%, 61 are from Generation Z and Alpha or those born between 1996 and 2010. On which this generation is very dependent on technological sophistication. One of the efforts made by the National Agency for Language Development and Cultivation to handle this decline in native language speakers is to mobilize all the task implementation unit offices in 30 provinces to carry out multi-platform innovations in teaching local languages in each province. The existence of this language agency is very large in the implementation of Indonesian language learning as a national identity, as well as regional languages in supporting the existence of daily speakers. As a form of introducing and maintaining the Indonesian language as a national identity, currently there are centers for learning Indonesian with Indonesian language for foreign speakers, or BIPA, in 53 countries. In the continuity of Indonesian as the national language, the presence of mother language plays a major role in enriching Indonesian variety and vocabulary. Thus, it is not surprising that at this time, Indonesia at UNESCO is fighting for Indonesian language to be part of the 6 other languages spoken at the official UNESCO meeting in Paris. If accepted, it will possibly become the official language at UN Assembly in New York. Moreover, with a population of more than 250 million people, and it can be spoken regionally in ASEAN member countries, it is the key to the presence of Indonesian language in the international world.
The story starts with the event on February 21, 1949, when Tan Malaka passed away. Tan Malaka, or Ibrahim Datuk Sutan Malaka, is a fighter for Indonesian independence, the founder of the Murba Party, and is one of Indonesia's national heroes. After Indonesian independence, Tan Malaka became one of the pioneers of the left wing. He was also involved in the July 3, 1946 incident, an attempt to seize power or a coup by the opposition, the United Struggle Group, against the government of Syahrir II cabinet in Indonesia. He formed the Struggle Union and was said to be the mastermind behind the kidnapping of Sultan Shahrir, who was then Prime Minister. Because of this, he was thrown in prison without having been tried for 2.5 years. Presidential Decree No. 53, which was signed by President Sukarno on March 28, 1963, designated Tan Malaka as a national hero. The next event is that in 1972, Luna 20 landed on the moon. Luna 20 was the second most successful of the three spacecraft on the moon landing mission by the Soviet Union. It entered lunar orbit on February 18, 1972, and on February 21, 1972, it landed on the moon in a mountainous area known as Terra Apollonis. When returned to Earth on February 22, 1972, Luna 20 managed to bring 30 grams of sand and lunar rock samples collected in a sealed capsule. Luna 20 finally managed to land in the Soviet Union on February 25, 1972. We end today in story with the event in 2000 when World Mother Language Day was commemorated for the first time. World Mother Language Day is commemorated every February 21st. This activity is carried out to raise awareness of linguistic diversity, culture, and multilingualism. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, established World Mother Language Day on November 17, 1999, and was formally adopted at the United Nations General Assembly through a resolution issued in 2008. And listener, that was Today in History.
masa muda. Tak peduli akhir cerita, yang penting bisa membuat kita bahagia. Hati senang dan terus berbunga-bunga, seperti kau masuk ke dunia. Mahliga.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today is entitled Indonesia invites Canada to develop electric vehicle ecosystem in ASEAN. Indonesia invites Canada to collaborate with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, in developing an electric vehicle ecosystem in the region. The Director of ASEAN Cooperation of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Siddharto Suryodipuro, told the Canadian ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Nadia Berger, that Canada plays an important role in the field of energy transition that can also Southeast Asia as an epicenter of economic growth. Siddharto conveyed in a seminar held by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, or CSIS, in Jakarta on Friday, as quoted on the Antara on Friday, that Canada has significant potential in the field of energy transition, having important mineral resources such as cobalt and lithium. According to him, Canada can support and collaborate in the Southeast Asia region to develop certain areas such as the electric vehicle ecosystem that is being fought for, as well as renewable energy. Siddharto previously said that ASEAN member countries had started to hold talks regarding the development of the electric vehicle ecosystem in the region. He said ASEAN member countries have the same view regarding the electric vehicle ecosystem. Hence, every producer has a regional view and not only focuses on the domestic market. As one of the regions with the largest economy in the world, Southeast Asia should be able to create its own standard. He added Indonesia has a comparative advantage, maybe even competitive in the field of electric vehicles. Siddharto also said that current electric vehicle manufacturers such as China, South Korea, or South America have different standards, but Southeast Asia can create its own standard that other countries will also follow. According to him, Indonesia is optimistic that ASEAN can also become a place to set standard. ASEAN foreign ministers gathered in Jakarta earlier this month to discuss Indonesia's leadership priorities in ASEAN this year. Indonesia has proposed four main aspects, one of which is energy security. Meanwhile, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi revealed that Indonesia would propose a result that would encourage the ASEAN region as an epicenter of economic growth, ensure energy security to support the transition from fossil energy to clean and renewable energy, among others, by developing an electric vehicle ecosystem in the region. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kepada yang kuhormati di sana, ku sampaikan salam ini untuk mewakilkan rasa terima kasihku. Menyambut hariku, berlagu dengan gaya nadamu. Di mana aku di sini, rindu akan nawaimu. Semesta riang, tersenyum merekah, lagumu bagai semangat di jiwa. Oh hatiku ini rindu, namun tak perlu mengharap. Senang riang, alunan pesona jiwa dan berpesta. Bina, bina metropolis, sang mesin waktu menembus masa lalu. Dan aku pun kan terkenan berlihat gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hi VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder tells you about thousands of Ngada people in Jakarta where once again celebrated a traditional party as well as a religious ritual, namely Reba, at the East Nusa Tenggara Pavilion, Taman Mini Indonesia Indah Cultural Park, East Jakarta on February 19. Carrying the theme Caring for Tradition Creates Harmony, the 2023 Reba ritual was held offline, after the previous 2 years it was held in a limited way due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Reba Festival is a Thanksgiving ceremony for the people of Ngada in Flores, East Nusa Tenggara, Indonesia, for the holding of Dewa Zeta Nituzale, namely Thanksgiving to the Supreme Being that the people of Ngada have believed in for thousands of years. Reba is usually celebrated from January to February, coinciding with the rainy season. For the date of implementation, Reba ritual is determined based on a traditional calendar called Pakisobi on the instruction of a Mori Kepo Vesu, or traditional holder. Reba celebration generally has three main stages. The first stage is Reba Lanu. This stage is the opening of Reba ceremony in each woe, or tribe. Reba Lanu is carried out outside the village, to be precise, in the gardens belonging to each tribe. The purpose of this ceremony is to honor the ancestors. Then stage Deke Reba. In this stage, all residents gather with the intention and promise of their hearts. Families from all over the world come with money, sacrificial animals, rice, and traditional drinks as offerings to their ancestors. The items brought are expressions of gratitude and for the sustenance, protection, and longevity that has been obtained. The sacrificial livestock of chickens and pigs were also slaughtered according to custom by the customary head. In ancient times, during Reba celebration, it was not sacrificial animals that were slaughtered, but tubers, which in the local language were called Uwi. Uwi is understood as God's gift in the life of the Ngada people. The sweet potato is brought to the middle of the courtyard, eaten together while dancing and singing around the village. The rest of the sweet potatoes are put into the house as preparation for eating together with their respective families. In 1900s, when rice began to be cultivated, Reba no longer served uwi, but various types of food. While maintaining the traditional menu, namely rice, meat of sacrificial animals, and the traditional drink, wine. The last stage in Reba is Kobe Doi, where all members of the extended family gather in the evening for Reba party. All people then eat together. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ku hanyut dalam lautan bintang, terjatuh ku melewati waktu, jiwa menyatu melebur tenggelam dan hilang, dan aku pun berlari di awan bersama seluruh
listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, which introduces Indonesian expressions and vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. With Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Our topic today is hotel stay. Next, I'm going to present a conversation entitled Kami Mohon Maaf. Kami Mohon Maaf, which means we are sorry. This conversation takes place between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and the hotel technician. Dev asks about the facilities in the hotel. Let's listen to their conversation.
Lampunya sudah menyala. Kami mohon maaf.
Tidak apa-apa. Terima kasih.
After we listen to the conversation, I will give vocabulary related to today's title, Kami Mohon Maaf. Kami Mohon Maaf, which means we are sorry. I will utter the words slowly twice and you can repeat after me. Kami. Kami, meaning we. Mohon. Mohon, please. Maaf. Maaf, sorry. Kami mohon maaf. Kami mohon maaf. We apologize. Kami minta maaf. Kami minta maaf. We are sorry. Kulkas. Kulkas, refrigerator. Kamar. Kamar, room. Tidak dingin. Tidak dingin, not cold. Kulkas di kamar tidak dingin. Kulkas di kamar tidak dingin. The refrigerator in the room is not cold. Lantai kamar. Lantai kamar, room floor. Lantai kamar tidak bersih. Lantai kamar tidak bersih. The floor of the room is not clean. Restoran. Restoran. Restaurant. Sudah tutup. Sudah tutup, already closed. Restoran sudah tutup. Restoran sudah tutup. The restaurant is closed. Tidak apa-apa. Tidak apa-apa. It's okay. Tidak masalah. Tidak masalah. No problem. In the conversation, you heard the phrase, Kami mohon maaf. Kami mohon maaf, which means we are sorry. In that speech, there is an expression of apologizing, mohon maaf. Mohon maaf. In that expression, the party apologizing is kami. Kami, which means we, or the hotel management. The word is followed by an expression of apologizing, mohon maaf. Mohon maaf. So, kami mohon maaf means we apologize or we are sorry. Other examples. Besides mohon maaf, which means apologizing, the expression to express an apology is minta maaf, which means sorry. For example, kami minta maaf. Kami minta maaf, which means we are sorry or we apologize. Kulkas di kamar tidak dingin. Kulkas di kamar tidak dingin, which means the fridge in the room is not cold. You can also use the expression maafkan. Maafkan, which means forgive, followed by the party apologizing. For example, maafkan kami. Maafkan kami, which means forgive us. Lantai kamar tidak bersih. Lantai kamar tidak bersih, which means the floor of the room is not clean. You can also use just the word maaf. Maaf, which means sorry. For example, maaf restoran sudah tutup. Maaf restoran sudah tutup, which means sorry, the restaurant is closed. In response to an apology, you can use tidak apa-apa. Tidak apa-apa, which means it's okay. Or, tidak masalah. Tidak masalah, which means it's okay. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of a conversation once again.
Lampunya sudah menyala. Kami mohon maaf.
Tidak apa-apa. Terima kasih.
That was Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today with the title Kami Mohon Maaf. Kami Mohon Maaf, which means we are sorry. Hopefully this edition will be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We will meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
tak tahu arah pulang. Ku ingin mesir waktu mengantarkanku ke arahmu yang dulu. Tak ingin pergi dulu. Sekali saja jangan kau jauh. Ku rindu masa
listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Zapin Batam by Siti Fatimah. The song Zapin Batam was composed by Bura Limar. The lyrics tell about Batam, where Hang Nadim made history. The song tell about Batam people are devoutly worshipped. This city is also a destination for people to make a living. People hope that anyone who lives in Batam can maintain customs, not tarnish the city of Batam, and uphold the Sharia Islamic teaching. Well, listener, here is the Malay song entitled Zapin Batam by Siti Fatimah. Enjoy!
Negeri kami, negeri kami.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter @VoiNindonesia, email voi@voinews.id.